And we return with today's topical currents, Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Today we begin with the latest information about prostate cancer. We'll speak with Dr. Jay Cohen, who shares 11 steps men should take before surgery or radiation. He's written the book Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, New Tests, New Treatments, Better Options. And Dr. Cohen joins us from Del Mar, California. Welcome, Doctor. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
And welcome to you, Dr. Cohen. Let's begin with your own prostate cancer diagnosis in 2011, where you got neither radiation therapy nor surgery. Tell us about your experience, will you, and your course of treatment and where your cancer stands today.
Well, let me start by saying I almost got surgery. I was on the surgical schedule. I was diagnosed in December 2011. It was discovered with elevated PSA levels. That's the test, prostate-specific antigen. And when it rises higher than the normal range, it's an indication that it might be cancer. And it isn't always, and that's part of the problem. We'll talk about a little bit later, I'm sure. But I did receive a biopsy, and it did show cancer. And I spoke to four prostate cancer surgeons. They all said, you need surgery. You've got a PSA that's here, and you got a, when we did the biopsies, you know, three of them came up positive. So when you take those numbers, this is what it adds up to. So I was pretty shocked when you hear the word cancer being related to you oneself. It's quite shocking. And the surgery radiation have their downsides and impair sexual functioning, impair bladder control in a very high percentage of men, a large percentage. And it was pretty hard to think of myself, you know, suddenly in that situation. So I was on the surgery schedule, and like a lot of men, I said, well, if we're going to do it, let's do it. And I told the schedulers, as soon as you have an opening, let me know. Let's do it. Fortunately, they were backed up a couple months. And, you know, with most prostate surgery, prostate cancers, there really is time to actually get a little more information. And I went to a support group, and I didn't know it, but it was one of the more activist groups in America. They won awards for their knowledge and what the information they provide, and I learned that, you know, there's a lot more for me to learn about what I have because I didn't really know where it was or how extensive it was. And doctors haven't had many tools, and they've had to make these decisions based on just the numbers I've mentioned. And what we found is there's a lot of overtreatment. Tens of thousands of men get overtreated for prostate cancer. The numbers I have are that of the 50,000 prostate removal, prostatectomy surgery a year. 40,000 are not really needed, and similar numbers for radiation. And the urology world is kind of, you know, going through what I call a new birthing era, I guess, for want of a better word. We're still using the old methods, the old technologies, what I call 20th century medicine, but things are happening in some of the top centers in the country. And one of them is what I learned about at that support group called, for the first time, in the book I call it an advanced prostate MRI, or they call it a multi-parametric MRI. We haven't had this available before, so all the decisions had to be made on statistical inferences. And now we can, if you know where to go, which I talk about in the book, who's doing it, you can actually get an MRI, see in the prostate for the first time. Can you imagine not having an MRI for any other kind of surgery in your body? We've been doing it for 20, 30 years, but now we have this, and you can actually see what you have. And what I found was that although I was told by all four surgeons, if you have prostate cancer in one area, you have it all over. Well, we found I didn't have it all over. And I didn't really necessarily need prostatectomy or radiation because it was only in one area. It was kind of a medium-small. It wasn't huge. It was in a very safe zone of the prostate gland, not near any vital structures. It was a low-grade cancer, so there was no likelihood it would just suddenly turn aggressive and spread everywhere. And it allowed me to pull back and start thinking, well, now I have many more choices, and what are the choices? And in the book, I talk about all these new choices that are coming online, but my view is that this new MRI, advanced prostate MRI, that's available in a few places, you know, places you may have heard of, like Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, MD Anderson in Dallas, UCLA, and a few others, is coming online, is going to change everything. If men know about it, but most doctors don't know about it. Most doctors' associations have not approved it. Most men will never hear about it, at least in the next 5 years, and they will continue on this conveyor belt of going to prostatectomy or radiation, even though thousands do not need it.
Dr. Jay Cohen, his book is Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, and let me advise our listeners that we'll have a link to that book at both the Topical Currents Facebook page and at WLRN.org, so you can go online and have a link to the book. Doctor, why is prostate cancer seems to be so, why is the prostate so susceptible to cancer? It seems similar to female breast cancer.
Yeah, the great similarities. The numbers are very similar. 200,000 men diagnosed a year, 30,000 die of it a year, and that number is very similar to breast cancer. Worldwide, it kills 208,000 men a year. It's a lesser-known cancer, but it is. It's very common, and the older men get, the more the tissue in a higher percentage of men changes and becomes cancerous. The big challenge, let me just add, 1 in 6 men you know, I know, will eventually develop prostate cancer. And the real challenge has been differentiating these cancers, but that are kind of innocuous, that aren't going to really kill you, that aren't highly aggressive or low grade, versus the ones that can. And we've not been very good at that. And because we really haven't had very good tools except these numbers and statistics, we've been so afraid of missing a man with a cancer that will kill him. Doctors have bent over backwards to make sure they get every man who might be at serious risk, and therefore, in doing so, have treated many thousands, tens of thousands of men each year who don't really need this aggressive, radical treatment.
Doctor, you talk about 7 new cutting-edge tests and effective treatment technologies. Why are most patients and doctors unaware of these?
Well, again, it hasn't reached critical mass. It's just happening now. You know, I'm a published author many times, and my area has been medications and side effects, and you know, that's the number 3 cause of death in America, and I've been writing about that for a very long time, and how to make drugs safer and use them more safely, and natural alternatives for high blood pressure, high cholesterol, migraines. And I wasn't thinking about writing about prostate cancer. I just wanted to get through it and be done with it. But as I went through this, as I learned about the MRIs, and then my new options came to me, you know, I started learning about some of the ones we'll talk about in a few minutes, I'm sure. It just hasn't reached that point. You know, medicine's a conservative profession, and we don't want to do harm until we're, you know, even though we don't intend to. We don't want to try new technologies unless they're proven and we can rely on them. And, you know, the process is we develop a new technology or a new treatment, and it's reported in a couple studies, and we say, oh, that's interesting. Let's replicate it, make sure it's true. Let's have other groups, you know, prove it again. Well, that takes a number of years. And then when you have all that data, then you want to have your urology association or the American Medical Association or the other specialty associations look at the data and then make their recommendations. And this can be a 5 to 7 to 10 year process. So we're right at that point. We're just now doing this. But it hasn't reached the regular doctor, the urologist, and certainly hasn't reached the patients. My whole goal in writing this book was to get the word out, because I just avoided surgery by a whisker.
So how were you treated?
Well, there's some choices. The choices you have now are double what they used to be. First of all, if you have prostate in one area, you don't have to take out the whole prostate gland anymore. There are technologies that are just now coming online and in study and available to people that can take out half the prostate, that can just go for the cancerous area and take out an area around it and above it and just take it out as a focal therapy. And then there's a...
Let me just stop you there for 1 second. Is that why you recommend this targeted biopsy as opposed to the untargeted one?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Is that why you are recommending this targeted biopsy instead of the untargeted biopsy?
Yes. Well, that's additional.
Okay.
But, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the other choice is what's called active surveillance, which is the one I have opted to because my cancer is low grade. With the MRI, we can see it. We can watch it. We can repeat the PSA testing, which is a good indicator of activity every 3 months. We can do another imaging test that's done in doctors' offices. About 30 doctors in America do a called color Doppler ultrasound. So we're doing that every 6 months. We'll repeat the MRI every year. And so far, over a year and a half, everything's exactly the same as it has been.
Pardon the privacy of the question, but how has it affected you in the sense of sexual performance or urination?
Well, since we didn't do any surgeries or anything, I'm fine. I'm just the way I have been.
You mentioned that you had joined this activist group where you heard about these new procedures. Is that a national group?
No, it's a local group called Informed Prostate Cancer Support Group. And I don't want to make it sound like a radical group or anything. It's just a bunch of older fellows and some of their spouses who meet monthly. And they bring in, you know, some of the top people in the country and in this area to talk about various issues involved. But you can go to their website. It's ipcsg.org.
ipcsg.org.
And you can order their DVDs. And these are the top people. You know, when I first learned about them and all, I ordered, you know, like the last 12 presentations before I had become a member. And they were very helpful and very informative. And they now are providing a lecture on DVD from a doctor, Lam, L-A-M. And he's an oncologist specializing in prostate cancer. And he kind of goes through the basics about, you know, what it is and how to diagnose it and the various, you know, other activities involved these days. So that website's very helpful for
Okay, that's good to know. We're speaking with Dr. Jay Cohen. He's a medical practitioner and researcher, associate professor at University of California in San Diego, and his latest book is Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, New Tests, New Treatments, Better Options. If you want to join in the conversation, if you have a question for the doctor, the number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org, and Twitter, you can tweet us at Topical Currents. We have an emailer. Frank wants to know how many different types of prostate cancer there are and what causes them exactly.
Well, as far as types are concerned, they're all the same type, but there's different levels of aggressiveness. And by the way, probably in 10 or 15 or 20 years, we'll be able to answer that question better and say, well, we have all these different genetic types and a variety of other ways to look at them, but that's not online yet. But it's the real difference is the grading. In other words, you do a biopsy, you get pieces of the prostate cancer. It's looked at by the pathologist, and it's given a grade on a scale called the Gleason scale, G-L-E-A-S-O-N. And usually from the scale goes from 6 to 10 because numbers below 6 are not cancer, or at least it's not full cancer. 6 is the lowest grade least aggressive cancer, which is what I was diagnosed with, and 10 is the most aggressive. And of course, the further up the scale a man's cancer is, the more aggressive the treatment that will have to be considered.
And do we know what causes prostate cancer?
Not specifically. I mean, there are some studies that show that, you know, men who eat better diets, you know, healthier diets, have some slightly less incidence of prostate cancer, but we don't have a specific this causes that by any means.
Describe, doctor, the color Doppler ultrasound.
Yes, this is another technique. It's very convenient because the doctor does it in his office while he's examining you. All doctors, all urologists have ultrasound equipment, and it's used mainly to measure the size of one's prostate. And that's really important because one of the big problems today is that doctors don't know how to interpret PSA results. One of the big points of controversy over the decisions to de-emphasize PSA testing is that doctors will have men who have high PSA levels, and they'll end up getting a biopsy before it's needed, or even if it isn't needed. And then if that comes back with cancer, no matter what the grade, even low grade, they'll end up in surgery or radiation. So the color Doppler, a doctor can, in his office, insert a small ultrasound device. And this color Doppler has certain kind of software, and he can actually see into the prostate, and it can pick up the increased metabolism that is produced by cancer cells, and he can actually see the cancer. Now, this technology is kind of controversial. It has not been embraced by the full urology associations or most urologists, but there are doctors, maybe about 30, around the U.S., and I list many of them in the book, where you can go do that. The beauty of it, one, is to see if you have cancer somewhere. And secondly, while you're there and while he's, you're both looking at it, because they put the screen in front of you, you can see too, they can then target their biopsies. Today, most biopsies are random or blind. They just take pieces from various areas of the prostate. And sometimes they miss a cancer that really is there. Then sometimes they have to go back and do it again or again. Which is not ideal because it's a surgical procedure and blood infections can occur, bleeding can occur. You don't want to do any more than you have to. You can ask any man who's ever had a prostate biopsy. But with the color Doppler and now with the MRIs, they're looking first using these technologies, and then they're deciding, well, do we need to do a biopsy, and where are we going to try to get a piece of the cancer?
So why is this color Doppler not been embraced by the medical community at large?
I think there's a question of how reliable it is, and it requires special training, which most urologists have not wanted to do.
So somebody gets a high PSA, and they're told either they need the prostatectomy or the radiation therapy. You're saying 85% of men do not. What's the first step they should take?
Well, first of all, there's an intervening step there. You get the high PSA, it should always be repeated. Secondly, there are other things that can raise PSA. One is a prostate infection, which may be silent. You may not know you have one. My PSA was highly elevated because I had had prostate infections previously, and I had high PSAs even going back into the 1990s, but my urologist then said, he thought it was an infection, and we didn't do a biopsy. When I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, it had jumped again, and I did think it was significant. But it's important the doctor know that a prostate infection can elevate the PSA level. Riding a bicycle, which pushes on the prostate, can push out a little more of this PSA material and raise the level if you've done it in the last 48 hours. Sexual activity, orgasm, can bring out some more PSA material and again raise your PSA level. So these are things that should be done and avoided, and then repeat the PSA test before further decisions are made.
Our telephone number, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. Also email, that's radio@WLRN.org. We're speaking with Dr. Jay Cohen. His book is Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs. And again, we will have links to that book and also that organization. We'll have that on our Topical Currents Facebook page.
The Inform Prostate Cancer Support Group.
And WLRN.org. Let's take a call. David,
yep.
In Pompano Beach. Hi.
Hi, how you doing, Joe? Love your program, and I really get off on when you do the calendar. Anyhow, it's a great program, and it's much needed. I had prostate surgery in 2004, okay? And I always try and speak to people and, tell them my experience and tell him not to jump the gun about the surgeries, because maybe three and a half years after I had my surgery, and my doctor almost assured me, I trusted him very much, that that I was, you know, there was a pretty good chance, because when they did the pathology after my surgery, they didn't find anything else in the area or in any of my other organs or anything. And they said, oh, we're pretty much sure that your cancer is not going to come back. Anyhow, 3.5, 4 years later, before I got to the 5-year target area of, oh, you're cancer-free, they found a little bit of cancer near the area where they did the surgery, because you understand, when they do these surgeries, I didn't have the robotic. I had a surgery done by a surgeon, and it was a new procedure, kind of like underneath, not over top of the stomach area, which kind of reassures they missed the nerve that, you know, initiates erection. Anyhow, so I had the surgery. So anyhow, they told me I needed to come back in the oncologist and have, you know, a little bit of mild radiation, not extensive. I had 5 weeks instead of 8 weeks. And then I had these little seedlings put in. Now, when after the surgery, I had more after effects after these seedlings, and the radiation didn't bother me, but I think planting the seeds in kind of caused other problems, like a little bit of incontinence, not really much. I haven't had problems with that. Anyhow, my question is, I listen to NPR a lot, and there was a very good program on about maybe 6-8 months ago. I've been trying to find where they had the doctor who does the PSA, who invented the PSA, and his point of view, if I'm correct in remembering, was that the PSA, they're not using the test in an accurate sense. It's not a true indicator of the process.
Doctor, your comment on that?
Let me comment a couple ways. First of all, it's really key for you. I'm very sorry your cancer came back. It's very key for you to keep on top of any other return of the cancer, how it's doing, where it is. And there's a new technology that's just now being tested and available at the Mayo Clinic and also at a imagery center down in Arizona, both of which are I list in the book. And this is a newer age, far more accurate and effective imaging. It's called a PET CT scan, carbon 11 PET CT scan. And the real key is catching these areas of metastases as early as you can, because the earlier you catch it, the more treatable they are. So that's really another breakthrough that is just now, was just approved a couple months ago, and I do mention in the book. As far as PSA testing, I am still pro-PSA, and the reason I say that is all these societies have come out against it because using the old way where you would just use little, you know, numbers, your PSA number is this, your biopsy, positive biopsies are that. You know, when I looked up my PSA number, it told me not only did I have prostate cancer, but it probably already spread, and it, you know, flipped me out. But now, if you then include the new MRI, with or without the color Doppler ultrasound, if you now include the new MRI in your diagnostic workup, we will not be over-treating. You know, the surgeons will say, the doctors will say, well, gee, if you have prostate cancer in one place, you have it everywhere. Well, actually, a new study that just came out while I was going through this whole ordeal from the Cleveland Clinic showed that actually, most of the time, they don't. We don't. There are men where if you see it in one area, it is elsewhere, and it needs to be treated. But there are double the number who don't have it spread everywhere. And now with the new MRI, we can tell the difference. So I feel PSA testing still plays a role in early identification, because that's the name of the game with this cancer. But you can now use the MRI to keep the doctors from overdoing it and sending men to surgery or radiation they don't need.
Doctor, once again, that website for the...
the organization, it's IPCSG.org, right?
Informed Prostate Cancer Support Group.org.
And they'll have a lot of this information for people who are concerned.
Yes, and there are a couple others that have a lot of information, too. One is PCRI.org, And another where they have great, if you look at the newsletters, great information from top people, many of whom are saying exactly what I'm saying. It's IP, you know what, I'm going to pull it up on my computer as we talk. I don't want to mislead anybody.
Okay, while you're pulling it up, let me just, well, we have some calls to take. I just wanted to ask a basic question. When should one start getting PSA testing? What age?
I believe 50. If there's a family history of prostate cancer, like my son, Will, probably 40. I still say, I'm in the minority now, but there are a lot of experts who agree with me, keep getting them, 50, all through your 50s and 60s, and now they're saying the cutoff, do them, you know, don't do them anymore after 70. I say, heck with that. I'm 67. I feel great, and I want to live into my 70s, and if I get a aggressive prostate cancer, I want to be checking. And I think men should check as long as they value their lives, because if you catch it early, even an aggressive cancer, it's very treatable.
Doctor, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're almost out of time for your scheduled interview. We only scheduled this for a half an hour. Would you be able to stay with us because we have a lot of callers?
I'd be happy to.
Would you be able to do that?
Sure.
Well, we appreciate it very much.
Okay, and did you find the other organization?
I'll work on that.
Okay, well, why don't we go ahead then?
We'll take a break and then come back with Dr. Cohen. And we return with today's topical currents, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and we're speaking with Dr. Jay Cohen. He's written the book, Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, New Tests, New Treatments, Better Options. And we're extending our program for the full hour. Our telephone number, 1-800-743-9576. Also, radio at WLRN.org if you prefer to email. Let's take a... Doctor, how about that website? Were you able to pull that up?
I pulled up another one, and I'm still working on it, but the one I did pull up is, it's amazing how much information is out there, and I really encourage men or family members to check them out. This one is prostatecancerinfolink.net.
And we'll also have links to the doctor's book, Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, at WLRN.org, and also the Topical Currents Facebook page. Let's go to Stephen. He's in West Palm Beach. Hi there.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call. I'm 52. I don't have prostate cancer, but I do have what I call restricted urine flow. And I went.
I missed that.
He missed that. Could you? You're breaking
said,
up a little.
He said restricted urine flow.
Yeah, right.
That's and not really something I can help you with. I'm not a urologist, and I'm not an oncologist.
Right, I got that part. I just wanted to share my experience.
Hopefully.
And let other people know the little bit that I went through, and I think it's a good thing. I went to a urologist and had a consult and was taking medication for flow. Certainly my interest was I wanted to make sure I was healthy and I didn't have a cancer or anything like that. And he was rather quick in the idea to go ahead and give me a surgical procedure to help with that. And not being too keen on that idea, I did try some medications. I went and got a second opinion. Actually, I'm driving home from that right now. It's quite timely of this program. And the second urologist I went to see told me that my symptoms are not serious, and that he would not recommend any surgery, and a whole different course of approach, and he took the time to explain things that I could do to better take care of myself. So for those out there who are having issues, it's worth it to get a second opinion, and you know, maybe you'll get good news.
Okay, thanks for
thank
your call,
you.
Stephen.
Doctor, do you...
Let me just comment on that.
Yeah.
You know, when men get the word cancer, we all freak out, and anybody gets the word cancer. And men often do rush. You know, as I did. I got scheduled really much sooner than I really needed to. Men don't realize that with most prostate cancer, there's plenty of time to search it out and read and get second opinions. It's vital. So unless you have a very aggressive, immediate kind of cancer, in 99% of cases, there really is time to inform yourself, get second opinions, read, and it can make a huge amount of difference.
When you say there's time, what time are you talking about? What time frame are you talking about? How much time does somebody have generally?
Well, it varies, you know.
Right.
Where is their PSA level? What is their biopsy showing? But for most grades of cancer, the lower grades, especially 6, 7, even 8, there's always time. And, you know, it doesn't take long to see another urologist. It doesn't take long, you know, it takes a night or two to go online and start reading things. So go right to it. Don't hesitate.
Dr. Cohen, sometimes I hear radio commercials and internet pop-ups that talk about herbal medicines to keep your prostate healthy. Is there any validity in those?
There is some validity, but we're talking about healthy, which is maybe improving prostate.
Yeah, they don't say they're going to cure cancer, but
that's right.
To keep your prostate healthy.
Yes.
Prostate.
And some of them have active nutritional, you know, supplements or herbal ingredients that sometimes can be helpful. There's one that I actually do like from a Florida doctor. It's called Peanuts, P-E-E-N-U-T-S, kind of a clever name.
Okay.
And his name is Dr. ends with a W, and he's in Sarasota. He's a urologist. I've spoken to him. He's a very sharp guy. And he's one of the ones doing the modern stuff, the MRIs. He really doesn't like doing biopsies. He will use the MRI to closely screen who does not and does or does need biopsy. His name's Ron Wheeler. He made this product himself, and he's a real believer that if you keep the prostate healthy, a lot of men carry inflammation in their prostate glands, as I did, and he feels if you keep the prostate healthy, it can reduce the incidence of prostate cancer.
Let's go back to some of our callers. This is Solomon in Boynton Beach. Thanks for your patience. Hi.
Yes, hi. I'd like to bring up a few things for Dr. Cohen. I am an 80-year-old who was just diagnosed with prostate cancer. My PSA was rising, and we should realize that the PSA number is not the entire factor. It's the way the number keeps rising that alarms the urologist into thinking that cancer might be prevalent. I went and had a biopsy with 12 cores, and 3 of the cores registered 7, 2 or 7, and 1 was 8. And I was indicated by my doctor that these are cancerous. I further went and took a complete body scan and a bone scan, which found no evidence of cancer anywhere else in my system. The proposal that I'm being made by my urologist, who I have great regard for, is that I should take a series of radiology, probably about 40 shots, and hormone therapy by injections. I would like to ask Dr. Cohen his opinion on what I've been diagnosed with and how the treatment and the treatment options I've been offered.
My comment is, one, what he has suggested to you may be quite appropriate for you, but it may not. I would not hesitate to get a second opinion, and I would certainly get one of these new advanced MRIs to see exactly what you have and where it is.
And once again, we need to let our listeners know that Dr. Cohen is not a urologist nor an oncologist.
That's right. I never have treated prostate cancer beside my own. This has never been my area of study, but I've always felt from my experience that getting an MRI and really have a visual of what is going on can be quite helpful.
But you've researched the latest innovations.
Absolutely. I'm staying right on top of the research.
And just to repeat, that MRI that you're talking about is the Advanced Prostate MRI. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And there are the places are listed in the book, but gradually, more and more places are implementing it. For example, when I wrote the book, I did not list Duke University in North Carolina, but I've been told now that they do have it. And you should check, you know, the websites or call or do research to see if some of the larger medical centers or medical school medical centers would be having that at this point. The official name for it is called a multi, M-U-L-T-I, para, P-A-R-A, metric, M-E-T-R-I-C, MRI, multi-parametric MRI.
Okay.
If you go online and look that up and look up your city or your state, you may get some hints.
And, of course, we have three medical schools here in South Florida that you could contact to see if they're giving that kind of treatment.
We have an emailer, Victor, says he's been reading over the internet that omega-3 and or A's, I don't know what he means, if he means vitamin A's, are aggressive causes of prostate cancer. And is that something you've heard?
Well, I've never heard of omega-3s causing prostate cancer. I don't know of any supplements that cause it, that's been proven. But there are a couple that probably should be avoided, and A may be one of them. I don't really know.
Okay.
There seems to be a lot of conjecture and misinformation on this issue, Doctor. Did you find that doing your research?
Yes. But I try to stay with what is medically proven. Now, I'm open to alternative medicine. I actually was one of the doctors who studied it first in the U.S. at UCLA back in the early 70s. And some of my books are on natural remedies for major medical conditions. But yes, especially with cancer and things like that, you can see a lot of things on the internet that really aren't supported very well by medical study.
So if you're diagnosed with prostate cancer, it's best to get a second opinion, but probably stay with the established professionals.
Absolutely. I wouldn't mess around with it. And of course, whenever we talk about misguided choices with cancer, you know, the name of Steve Jobs always comes up. And I'm not against natural therapies as long as we know they're safe. And some doctors will mention them to you, but I would certainly not rely on that to keep me safe.
We're speaking with Dr. Jay Cohn. He's a medical practitioner and researcher, associate professor at University of California, San Diego. And his latest book, Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, New Tests, New Treatments, Better Options. One more short break and we'll be right back.
And we return, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Dr. Jay Cohn. The title of his book is Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, and there'll be links on our website, WLRN.org, and also the Topical Currents Facebook page. Let's go to Mark in Coral Springs. Hi there.
Hi, Dr. Cohn. Thanks for taking my call. Recently, I was just diagnosed. I had a biopsy. Just diagnosed with two cores of cancer, both grade 6, less than 5% on each core. I've had numerous biopsies before, numerous PSAs. I'm young, 66 years old, very healthy. I bike ride. I've had prostatitis. I was put on the finasteride, which should have lowered my PSA, but didn't. And that's what prompted that next biopsy with the positive result. My question is, I want to live a long life, and I have this cancer hanging over me, and I'm considering having a prostatectomy versus watchful waiting in the next, let's say, 6 months. Is that a logical
decision?
That's
exactly where I was. And I'm really glad you called. You answered my prayer because it gives me an opportunity to talk about all the other possibilities. First of all, before you make any decision, get one of these advanced multi-parametric prostate MRIs. It may change everything. This is the problem. All this over-treatment we've been seeing. I mean, the statistic is 50,000 prostatectomies are done a year, and probably 40,000 aren't really needed. An MRI can really sort it all out. Secondarily, if you have the cancer on just one side, which most men in your situation do, they don't have it all over, we now have therapies, because now we can see it, that will treat half your prostate or just locally if it's in one spot or on one side. And that reduces, these are called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU, HIFU. If you put HIFU prostate cancer in your search engine, you'll come up with all kinds of stuff. It's not available here yet, but it's available everywhere else in the world. You can get it in Canada. And some of the doctors here will evaluate them in their offices, and they will then take you to a surgical center in Bermuda or the Caribbean or Mexico or England, okay, or Germany, and do it there. It's like a 2-hour, 3-hour outpatient procedure, and side effect rates, if it's just for a local treatment, are less. Another approach is called cryosurgery, which is a freezing technique. And a new one that's being studied and you can sign up for is called focused laser ablation, where they just go right into the tumor and they burn the tar out of it and they get an area around it, too, of normal prostate tissue. This is in study now and you can sign up. And all of these are done under this new MRI technology, so they can see exactly what they're doing. They can get everything that is visible, and it's far less intense a treatment, radical treatment, than your prostatectomy or your radiation, which gets the whole gland and doesn't make any choices between where the prostate cancer is or not. It just takes the whole gland, and that's why you get in trouble with the adverse effects with those whole gland therapies.
Okay, so check that out first. Do you think there's any downside in having a prostatectomy in the end?
Well, one, it works 80% of the time, but not 20. Two, it has a whole host of adverse effects. It's major surgery, but it also can get the nerves that go to the sexual organs and that go to the bladder, and it leaves a fair percentage of men with damage to those systems that can last a lifetime. So, you know, if you get the book, I talk about surgery. And by the way, I'm not against surgery. If you have an aggressive cancer, and this is what is called for, I am all for it. The big problem we have had is that we have not been able to differentiate. A study just came out in the Journal of the American Medical Association just last week, and I'm adding it to the new edition that will come out in a year, which shows that even now, with things we're learning and knowing, the rate of men, the percentage of men who get radical surgery or radiation is getting worse. The undue harm, the men who don't need it, is getting worse. And that's why all these agencies are saying, don't do PSA tests anymore because we're overdoing it. We're causing more harm than good.
Right.
But that's because all the data they're studying does not include data on the new techniques, the new technologies, and the MRI that will really change everything over the next decade.
Do you recommend any center on the East Coast?
Well, let's see. You're in Florida, I presume?
Right.
I don't know anybody in Florida. I don't know what's being done at your nearest medical school or medical center. So
I really would rather you didn't give any specific recommendation
that. Go online.
Go online and
look at the
parametric MRI in Florida or Miami or wherever you are and see where you can find it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Cohn. Thank you, Dr. Cohn. Thanks.
You're
welcome. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
And we'll move along. This is Ron in Coconut Creek. Hey there.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Ron, and I have prostate cancer.
Okay, go ahead.
My question is this, doctor. All my life I've had PSA scores that have been very low. Low, that is less than one. I was diagnosed in September of 2012 with prostate cancer after a biopsy was done where two cores came back with 16% and 23% cancer.
Which
and
is low.
A Gleason score of six. But my PSA score at that time was the highest it ever was at 1.1. Subsequently, it went down to 0.7. I'm not sure what this means, and neither is my doctor. When I asked him point blank, what does that mean? He says, I don't know.
So what's the highest your PSA ever was?
1.1, and that was at the same time I had the biopsy done when the barrage of tests were given to me, including the biopsy.
Okay, so here's my hunch. You know, again, I'm not a urologist. I will tell you what you should do, but my hunch is this will never bother you. You know, a 1.1 PSA, a lot of people wish they had that. You know, I realize maybe it's gone up a little bit. But
no, it went down, doctor. It went down to 0.7
But initially it went from what to what?
It went from about, most of the time it was a 0.67 or 8. And the highest it was the 1.1, and then it went back down to 0.7.
A lot of people would tell you that should not have been a reason for a biopsy. But now you have and this is part of the problem. When doctors overreact to PSA and they do biopsies, half of, you know, over a million are done a year, and half of them are unnecessary. We know that, and you may be one. I don't But in any event, maybe it was necessary. But then they find cancers that probably aren't harmful cancers, and then doctors recommend surgery or radiation.
He recommended radiation for me right away, and frankly, I had a strong distaste for that and did some research and eventually talked him into watchful waiting, where I am right now.
Yeah, well, I would get another opinion. You know, I don't know your doctor. You know, you've got a PSA of 1.1, even 4 is what we get concerned about. Now, you're right. If the PSA is doubling or tripling, but yours never did that. You know, if you have a PSA 1, it goes to 3, well, then that is a concern. But from 0.7 to 1.1, that's not a doubling.
No, and actually, it went from 1.1 back down to 0.7 later on.
I hear you. No, I hear you. Yeah. There's nothing you've told me that says, boy, this is, you know, this really needs treatment. And again, this is just a phone conversation, but you should get another opinion. And if there's any doubt about what to do, absolutely get an MRI, even if you have to fly to Sloan Kettering in New York or Duke or wherever you want to go. But I wouldn't do anything further, even a biopsy, again, until you see what the MRI would show.
Okay, Ron, we have to run. Thanks.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you very much.
And good luck. Bonnie, quickly, some of those websites.
Yes, some of the websites, and we'll have them on the Facebook page and on the WLRN homepage under Topical Currents, are IPCSG.org. That's the Informed Prostate Cancer Support Group. And PCRI.org. And the other one was prostatecancerinfolink.net. Is that right, doctor?
Yes, and there's, I found the other one as well. PAACTUSA.org. I'm having trouble pulling it up today.
Okay.
But I've gotten great information off of it.
Okay,
well thanks
you
so much for joining us, Dr. Jay Cohn. The name of his book is Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, New Tests, New Treatments, Better Options, and the best to you.
Thank you very much. Enjoy being on your show.
Thank you.
And that wraps up today's program. Apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. Again, check us out at the WLRN.org website and also the Topical Currents Facebook page. Our producer is Richard Ive, technical direction by Caroline Brader-Watts. Paul Leary is online producer. Free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org. And you can listen again or send a link to a friend. More info as well at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, it's Ed Bell and the South Florida Arts Beat. Monday, we return with a program about new remedies for osteoporosis, the degenerative bone disease. And an all-literary calendar for today. On this day in 1859, 150 years ago, Charles Dickens's A Tale of Two Cities is published. Set in the French Revolution, it was originally named Recalled to Life. On this day in 1889, 124 years ago, the birth of writer E.B. White in Mount Vernon, New York. He contributed to The New Yorker for over six decades and also wrote acclaimed children's books, including Charlotte's Web. One more while we ponder fictional Macomb, Alabama. On this day in 1960, 53 years ago, Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird is published. It won a Pulitzer Prize in 1961. Of course, in 1962, Gregory Peck starred in the film version. Robert Duvall played Boo Radley, Brock Peters as Tom Robbins. We leave with a thought from E.B. White, who also edited the classic The Elements of Style. Quote, I would feel more optimistic about a bright future for man if he spent less time proving that he can outwit nature and more time tasting her sweetness and respecting her seniority. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, stay tuned for Here and Now from NPR News.